The actual experience exceeds all expectations.
You're talking beautiful Bahamian islands, beautiful models, beautiful parties.
It was billed on social media as the cultural experience of the decade.
The most insane festival the world has ever seen.
And Mark Crawford spent thousands of dollars for tickets and anticipated the event for months.
It was all about capturing this experience of being on an island, being with this group of people. They're featuring the jet skis, and they're featuring these yachts, and they're featuring these beautiful villas.
An exclusive and curated experience on a private island in the Bahamas with luxury accommodations, gourmet food, and top musical art.
It gives people that type of energy.
It was called Fire Festival. Models and influencers like Kendall Jenner promoting it online, Bella Hadid and Emily Ratajkowski posing on white sand beaches, an Instagram fantasy come to life. And now those influencers are under the microscope.
That new fallout over the Fire Festival.
Last week, a judge approved a request to subpoena records from Kendall Jenner and the agencies representing Bella Hadid and Hailey Bieber, among other models, performers, and social media influencers who were collectively paid more than $5 million to build buzz for the now failed festival.
The marketing was incredible. No one disclosed that they were ads.
Turns out the reality was far from paradise.
And what you ended up happening was consumers spent, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars and invested in a complete fraud and disaster of an event.
This is the ultimate example of following social media influencers down a dark path.
Guests who paid thousands of dollars for the ultimate luxury getaway instead were stranded in waterlogged tents eating soggy cheese sandwiches. Not a model or musical act in sight.
Come on now. How many of you heard of Fire Festival? Put your hands up right now. See, here's what's interesting is everybody under 35 has heard of it. Everybody over 35, I have no idea what was going on here. My millennial staff could not believe I had never heard of this thing. But apparently, this was the ultimate bait and switch that went out there. By the way, the baiter has been sentenced to 6 years in prison, has to forfeit $26 million and such. It's a big scam. But what intrigued me was not the scam. It wasn't the bait and switch. That's been going on since the beginning of time. What intrigued me about the little video was the word used again and again. See, I don't know if you heard it. I don't know if it stood out to you because it's used so often in our society. See, they talked about social media influencers. Those people that can motivate us to do things that we wouldn't normally do. So behind the scenes, Fire Festival paid celebrities with hundreds of thousands, some of them millions of social media followers. They were paid to promote this event, but to make sure it didn't look like it was an advertisement. See, I don't know if you know this or not, but people with large numbers of social media followers can command large sums of money for making a post. If somebody has hundreds of thousands of followers, less than a million, some of their posts, just think how much they might get paid for a single post. $10,000 for a single post. If you have over a million followers, some of them have brought in, believe it or not, $250,000 per post. This made me begin to wonder if I shouldn't start a side business. You know what I'm saying? Like, I got a good base, like 123 followers. I think we can build from there and maybe make something happen. I could bring in some, like, coffee money. I don't know. See, what it seems like to me is that people all over, we are looking for someone to influence our lives. Almost if it was designed that way. And what's really frightening is the people who we are allowing to live, influence our lives when we find out who they really are. And maybe people are stepping in to be influencers because we, as followers of Jesus, are possibly, in part, not living out the destiny that we have in Jesus Christ. See, I want to show you this. So if you don't mind, both campuses, North Campus, South Campus, people that are online, you have access to our Park News. And in the Park News is a set of notes. Once you get that set of notes out, be able to follow along. Because really what I want you to do when you have the Park News is I think while I'm speaking, the Holy Spirit's speaking. And really what you want to do is jot down what the Holy Spirit's speaking and ignore what I'm speaking unless what I'm speaking is in line with the Holy Spirit, right? He's moving among us and doing stuff. At the top of those notes is a verse from Paul's letter to his protege, his spiritual son, Timothy. And Paul says, the saying is trustworthy. If anyone aspires to the office of an overseer, an elder, he desires a noble task. Now, as we noted last week, this little phrase, the saying is trustworthy, is an idiomatic expression. It is a way that has been used in language throughout the centuries to really highlight something to you and I. We do it all the time in the English language, like in the world of athletics. If a game ends in a tie, both teams have the same score, no winner, no loser. A tie, we like to say a tie is like kissing your sister. You heard it? Nothing wrong with it, just not a lot of excitement in it, right? That's the image. We use the image to communicate, bring home our disappointment. The saying is trustworthy is an ancient idiom to communicate what we would say today. You can take that to the bank. Meaning this is so true, you can build your life on it. And see, Paul is highlighting five things in his letters to Timothy and Titus, five promises, five trustworthy foundational things that every follower of Jesus needs to get inside of us. And in this verse, believe it or not, is a promise to all followers of Jesus. The promise, godly influence is our destiny in Jesus. You were designed to influence. See, I'm going to challenge that you are influencing right now. Whether you know it or not, whether you like it or not, you have a circle of people around your life. Business people call that your circle of influence. We're influenced. The question is, are we influencing purposely for a godly way? Now, I know some of you are looking and say, hey, dude, the text, 1 Timothy 3:1, does not talk about everybody. It talks about elders, about the overseers in the local church. Now, just as a side, I don't know if you know this or not, probably a lot of you do, but at Beltway Park, our church is overseen by a group of elders. They are the final authority in our church. We have a group of normally 7 to 10 men. Currently, we have 10. They steward our vision. They help make sure that we stay on the mission that the Father has given to us. And these men, I'm telling you, are all in, have been all in ever since I've been here. They meet almost every week, 90% of the weeks on a Monday morning, 6:30, to pray, to intercede, to do spiritual battle for our church. And we meet a couple of times a month in addition to that to go over the affairs of our church, to deal with the matters of our church. In addition to that, all these guys are involved in individual ministries that are part of, called out to pray for people, all sorts of things. I'm telling you, the elders of our church are all in. People often ask me, say, what has happened at Beltway and how did it occur? If you want to know the answer to that, you got to start with the eldership. I promise you, you've got to start at that place because they are the ones that are setting the pace. I understand that they're not platform personnel. You don't see them all the time. But I'm telling you, the vast majority of what has happened has been set by this eldership and such. Most of whom, by the way, 80% do not receive a paycheck from Beltway Park. In fact, it's in our bylaws that a majority of our elders cannot be on staff. See, as we look at the verse and you hear about overseers at Beltway Park, I just want you to know that you have one of the most father-honoring, Jesus-following, spirit-empowered eldership that exists in the nation. We are a blessed people. They deserve a round of applause. Would you tell these elders you appreciate them? See, the truth is, you may not know who they are. They're not necessarily public figures, but they are the pace setters of our church. If I may, they are the influencers, the ones who shape things and direct things in ways most people do not know about directly, but the impact is undeniable. But the reality also is this. There are thousands of us, and we can't all be elders. Only a handful of people are called to be elders. But according to Paul, when we desire for our lives to influence people's lives like an elder does in a local church, we're longing for that which is, notice the word, noble. Say noble. Do you know what noble comes from? From the idea of nobility, that which is royal, that which is kingly. See, hear this and let it sink in. When we acknowledge within us a design and desire to influence, we are grabbing hold of that which is of the King and his kingdom. It's not arrogance. It's not ego. It's not pride. It's actually who we were designed to be from the beginning, lost it according to sin, but in Jesus it's being handed to us once again. Godly influence is our destiny in Jesus. See, I can prove it to you with the words of Jesus. But you got to be honest with me. You ready? How many of you like to put salt on your food? Hands up. Come on, both campuses. Put them up right now. I know you're American. Put your hands up. Put your hands down. How many of you put salt on your food before you taste the food because experience has shown you it's not going to have enough salt? Put your hand up right now. Of those of you who just raised your hand, how many of you have heart disease? Yeah, don't put your hands up right now. You know what I'm saying? Why do we put salt on food? Because it tastes better. If I may, salt influences taste. Jesus says to you and I, you are the salt of the earth. When Jesus said these words, he wasn't speaking to a handful of people called elders. He was speaking to a crowd of people just like you and I. You are the salt of the earth. And notice, he doesn't say you can be, you should be. He said you are the salt of the earth. Salt influences our destiny in Jesus. And just in case we miss it, he said, you are the light of the world. See, light influences darkness. In fact, according to science, there is no such thing as darkness. You can't measure darkness. You can only measure how much light there is and the absence of light. Shining into the darkness, here, influence is our destiny in Jesus. Godly influence is our destiny in Jesus. And I know as soon as I attach that word influence to you and I, we begin to back away and say, no, because we associate influence in our culture with fame, with celebrities, with politicians, with athletes, with people apparently who can garner a lot of social media followers. As far as I know around Beltway Park, there's not one person of great fame. Not one person known around our nation, no one person who has common. I don't know of anybody Beltway Park that has hundreds of thousands of social media followers, millions of social media followers, not an influence or in that form or fashion. I don't think any of us have this. We don't have that kind of fame or notoriety. All we have, each of us, is the Spirit of God himself living inside of us. The same Spirit that hovered over the deep during the process of creation. The same Spirit that raised Christ Jesus from the dead. The same Spirit that filled those no-name followers of Jesus who were just mere fishermen, uneducated men, filled those early followers of Jesus in such a way that they reshaped civilization over the course of 300 years. Hear me, that's all we have going for us. And the way the Spirit normally works is not through mass platforms. Not through social media posts. The way he normally works is mano a mano. Man to man. Woman to woman. Person to person in life. I mean, think about your own life for a second. Think about the people who have really, really influenced your life. Who deep down put a mark in your being, especially when it comes to following Jesus. See, I bet if we took a look at our lives, the people who most deeply influenced us, especially in our walk of Jesus, were not famous, they were not well known. See, I know that's true in my own life. Like, I can tell you about authors that really have influenced my life that might be known, but the people who put me onto those authors were not known. And to be real, the people who really put deep into my life, you wouldn't know their name. You wouldn't know Rod Smithers. You wouldn't know Wyatt Finno or Paul Allen, and I'm not talking about the Microsoft Paul Allen there. You wouldn't know about Randall Ross unless you knew me in Lubbock or unless you knew me in Pampa. But I can't even begin to measure the depth of the impact and influence they've had on my life. And I could give you names right here, right now. And you might know those names because you're around Beltway Park or honestly because you live in Abilene. Let's be honest, everybody's in everybody's business in Abilene, right? And so you might grab a hold of that, but overall, they're not people of great fame. Their names are not well known around the world, but they're ones making a difference in my life. They're the ones that are encouraging me and influencing me to run after Jesus, to find more and more of the reality of abundant life he has for me as I live a life of next steps with him. Hear me, the Father doesn't need fame. The Father doesn't need social media followers. He does not need a certain kind of platform to use us to significantly influence someone else's life. And the reason for that is the very nature of kingdom influence. It's inverse of what the world normally has. You see, godly influence begins with who we are. Put a star by that on your note. Don't minimize that. Godly influence begins with who we are. See, if you were to go on reading Paul's talk about the noble thing of desiring to be an overseer. He goes on in the next verses, and he doesn't do what we think he would do. See, we think when he talks about the office of overseer, what he's going to do is give us a job description. of the office of the overseer than the skill set necessary for a person to do that. But that's not what he talks about. He talks about the kind of men who are to be elders in the church. Therefore, an elder, an overseer, must be above reproach, the husband of one wife, sober-minded, self-controlled, respectable, hospitable, able to teach, not a drunkard, not violent but gentle, not quarrelsome but a lover of money. And for several verses, he goes on here describing the character traits of an elder. Why would he do that? Because who we are has far greater influence than what we do or what we say. Who we are is the foundation of our influence. Without it, what we do and what we say will be minimized by the essence of who we are. Who we are has far more impact than what we do or what we say. That's just the opposite of those that are called influencers in our society. See, most influencers in our society are not based upon a certain character trait, but based upon a certain skill. That skill could be athletics, it could be the ability to act in movies or TV shows or something like that. It might be a position that he or her has out in society. But often what we discover about social media influencers and other kind of influencers in our society is that the essence of who they are is opposite of the influence we want to have. And they have people in their life called PR people. Public relations people who have to take instances in their lives and they have to spin those. I mean, come on, how many of us want to have our marriages influenced by Hollywood? Watch the spin done on Hollywood marriages. Watch the way the stories unfold. Hundreds of thousands, if not millions of dollars spent spinning these stories to make them not seem to be what they really are and such. People who have godly influence don't need spin. Our influence is just the overflow of what the Lord is doing in our life. It is the essence of who we're becoming in Jesus. See, it's not just true of elders. It's true for all followers of Jesus. In the second letter to Timothy, Paul said, "To Timothy, I have been reminded of your," notice the phrase, "sincere faith." I've been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois, and in your mother Eunice. Those were the influencers in his life. And now I am also persuaded lives also in you. See, that word sincere is so powerful. In the original language, sincere means inexperienced in the art of acting. See, we call someone who says one thing and does another thing a hypocrite. A hypocrite among the Greeks was an actor or an actress, someone who was playing a role. Sincere means the inability to act, the inability to be a hypocrite like that. See, don't miss this. The foundation of godly influence is our example. Without it, we can't have it. Godly example will lead to a greater depth of influence in the lives of people than a large platform ever will be. Parents, if you want your kids to follow after Jesus Christ, if you would say, "I want my kids to run after Jesus Christ with the totality of their life, that's why I have them here," the very best thing you can do, believe it or not, is not bring them to church. Now, I know that seems counterintuitive for someone doing church, right? But the very best thing you can do for them is not just to bring them to church and say, "Listen to those guys." The very best thing you can do for your kids to run after Jesus is to see them, let them see in you someone who's running after Jesus. Let them see the imperfection. Let them see the weaknesses of your faith. But let them see, notice the word, sincerity of our faith. Let them see that reality in our lives. If you want your coworkers, you want to see your friends, you want to see people around you receive the abundant life the Father has for them in Jesus, the very best thing you can do for them is to see the sincerity, the reality of your faith. Paul actually said, "Follow my example as I follow the example of Christ." What would it be like for us to be able to say something like that? I mean, in essence, this radical thing Paul is saying, if you have trouble believing that you can actually follow Jesus, then all that he has for you, then don't look at him, look at me looking at him. If that's all you can do, look at me, because I am a man of great imperfection just as you are. In fact, Paul said it. We looked at it last week. I am the worst of sinners. I have so much that needs to change, so much that needs to grow. But I'm going to run after Jesus. And if you really struggle to think that the ways of Jesus are too grand for you, just stick close to me. Look at me, and you will see what he does in my life, and you will be able to begin to believe that he can do the same thing in your life. You see, godly influence comes as we allow people to get a little close to our lives, and they see not perfection, come on, but they see sincerity in our faith. They see us imperfectly running after Jesus. They see us trusting God's strength in our weakness. They see us being honest with our struggles, but desiring to change and be more like Jesus. They know the reality. It's okay not to be okay, but it's not okay to stay not okay. I am on a journey, and Jesus is going to change me more and more, and he can do the same thing for you. And then when we do that, when we live an example, hear me, you're an example already. I'm an example already. There's people around us. The question is it being purposeful to the things we want? See, when we start wielding that kind of example, a sincere and growing faith, it's imperfect, yeah, but it's going to wield more influence than you can dream. And then when you're doing that, when you are becoming, not have arrived, but are becoming, come on, how many of you have not arrived yet? Put your hands up. How many of you are still becoming? Keep them up. See, if we're on the journey of becoming, then what happens if we're on that journey? Then our words begin to have power. Our words begin to have weight behind them. See, godly influencers encourage others. That's what we see throughout Paul's letters to Timothy. Read both letters and you'll find Paul again and again and again imparting courage to this young man. Don't let anyone, he said, Timothy, look down on you because you are young. If I can rephrase that, Timothy, I'm absolutely confident that which God called you to do, you can do. It doesn't matter how old you are if you're doing it. More than we realize, hear me, more than we know, everyone needs people in their lives, people in their faith journey who are imparting courage. People who are looking at one another and saying, you can do this in Jesus. Godly influencers do just that. See, encouragement, more than you know, challenges us to move forward in our journey with Jesus. See, what we tend to think in our culture is we criticize people to the way of change. We confront people to the way of change. I would tell you, encouragement will do that more than anything else. You know the scripture nowhere says be critical of one another to make each other better? I mean, look it up. It doesn't say, hey, find everybody's faults and make sure you point those out so that they can get better in Jesus Christ. We're getting a little personal now? Because the nature of our culture is to do just that. I will tell you, I'm good at seeing the faults in others. I'm like really good. I like to solve problems, and the way you solve a problem is find a problem. And there are lots of problems among a lot of people in the world, right? But the way you solve it isn't the way you think. The scripture doesn't say be critical of one another so that we can be more like Jesus. The scripture says encourage one another and build each other up. Impart life. And I know you might want to go all Bible debate on me and say, hey, David, that's not all the Bible says. The Bible also says speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up to him who is the head, that is Christ Jesus. David, we need to speak the truth in love. You know that every time we use this verse, we use it in the negative. We use it to say that there are things that need to be confronted, things that need to be challenged. Absolutely correct. But why is speaking the truth in love only about the negative? Is not the positive things in people's life, is that not also true? Is the way they're growing in Jesus not also true? Is the way they're running after Jesus in their imperfection also not true? If we're going to speak the truth in love, let's speak the entire truth in love, which means we need to do the whole thing, right? Positive and negative. There was a Harvard psychologist by the name of Sean Acor. I read his book called The Happiness Advantage. I'm quoting him to you because he's from Texas. We can only quote Texans here at Beltway Park or C.S. Lewis. One of the two, that's it. He did an exhaustive study on successful leaders and teams in various arenas of life. He was primarily focused on business, but he made an amazing statement. He said the ideal ratio for positive to negative interactions for a successful team is, notice it, 6-1. 6 encouragements, 6 attaboys, 6 you're doing a good job, 6 thank yous for every 1 negative we have. See, no doubt there will be times of confrontation. No doubt there will be times of criticism. No doubt there will be things that need to change. But come on, how much easier is it to receive those criticisms, those challenges from someone who has been imparting courage to your life over and over and over again? See, godly influencers speak life over others with regular words of encouragement. In fact, they go a step further. Godly influencers believe for others. Now, let me unpack this for you. Encouragement is what we see with our eyes, we hear with our ears that a person is doing, and we tell them, that's a good job, thank you, attaboy. When I talk about believing for someone, I'm talking about calling out the destiny in someone before anyone sees it. It is believing that God has something for their lives in a way he wants to work through our little lives that we can encourage both in their character and in the things they do in life before they ever begin to see it. It happened to my life. Those no-name, not famous influencers of my life when I was a young man, 14 years of age. If you'd asked me at 14 years of age what I wanted to do, I would have told you I was going to be an NBA All-Star. You would have laughed at me and said, no, really, and you could have pressed me beyond because even at 14, I was beginning to see the skill set was not there, right? And I would have told you this, I want to join the United States Air Force and I want to fly planes. That was my dream. That's what I wanted to do. You said, what about what you're doing right now? I would have never thought I could be the kind of person who could do this. My mind of what a preacher and a pastor was so out of bounds, so out of thought that I could have never done it. It was those influencers who begin to see it and speak it. Probably they said, you talk a lot, maybe you can make a living at it. I don't know. But they begin to see. Now, don't mishear me. I don't think what I'm doing is any more spiritual, any more godly than being a pilot by any means. But there was a thing God wanted to do in me. And it took people who saw it in me before I saw it in me, who began to speak it before I began to believe it was true, that began to encourage and influence that in my lives. They began to believe that I could be something I never thought I could be in Jesus Christ. What if we were those kind of peoples? See, Paul did this to Timothy. He said, Timothy, do not neglect the gift which was given you through a prophetic message when the body of elders lay their hands on it. You're gifted, Timothy. And you're not using it. You've got something inside of you. You don't see it. You don't know about it. But I promise you, it is there. And there's more that God wants to do in you than you think is possible. You're gifted in ways you don't believe. But Paul looked at him and said, I see it. I know it's there. I put my hands on you. And I felt the power of God come into you. I know what he wants to do in your life. Timothy, if you can't believe for it, I can believe for it for you. He had influence in his life. See, godly influencers have faith for the supernatural work of God in and through others. We know God wants to work through somebody's life. We intercede for it to come about. Speak it over them and believe for it when they cannot. Please hear me. I'm not talking about the common American optimism that's out there today. I know we like to say in America, you can be anything that you want to be. You've heard that, right? You can be anything you want to be. Listen to me. You really can't. Now, I understand what we mean by the phrase is there are opportunity in our nation for people to push outside of what has been normal in societies. I agree with that altogether. But you cannot be anything you want to be. I mean, I'm not going to be a professional singer. No matter how much I want to be that, no matter how much you say, you can be anything you want to be, David. Say, how do you know that? I'll tell you how I know. I watch American Idol. Some of those people, God love them, they need better friends. They need people who are speaking encouragement and truth over the things they are, but they got to have that thing to say, but you are not this. You ain't a singer, right? You know what I'm saying? So when I talk about believers for somebody else, I'm not talking about this optimistic platitude that we throw out there. I'm talking about being people of prayer. People who intercede for those in our lives. What would happen if we just begin to pray for our kids? God, what are the things you want to do through our kids? Not what is it I want. What is it that you want to do through my kids? What is it that you have called them to be? How is it that you have designed them? What are you going to do through their lives? And we begin to believe for it. What if we speak prophetically into the character of who they're going to be, the callings, the influence that they're going to have in their lives? See, I'm talking about calling forth a God-directed destiny. Godly influence is our destiny in Christ Jesus. Every year at the Christmas season, a movie is watched. It is the most commonly watched Christmas movie for the last 50 plus years. See, you could probably pick out what it is. You know it's not Christmas Vacation. It's not the most popular. It's not Elf, though maybe it should be. The most watched Christmas movie in the history of the United States of America is It's a Wonderful Life. It tops every year almost every movie out there. Though people have watched it again and again. And it's interesting to me that that's true because it has nothing specifically to do with Jesus. And it really doesn't talk about Christmas, not in the real sense of Christmas. other than it's set in the Christmas season and they talk about the Christmas season, but it really has nothing to do with matters of faith, yet millions among even believers watch it regularly. Why? Well, maybe Clarence the Angel said it best. And by the way, don't take your theology of the angelic from It's a Wonderful Life. Completely off. Don't know about the wing thing. Definitely not think it's connected to a bell in any form or fashion. But Clarence said in the thesis statement of the movie, strange, isn't it? Each man's life touches so many other lives. When he isn't around, he leaves an awful hole, doesn't he? We watch because we want to believe that's not just true of George Bailey. We want to believe it's true for my life. See, we long to influence other people's lives. When you go to your next funeral, I know no one looks forward to that. You go to your next funeral, listen. And you're going to hear people try to do two things that seem contradictory to one another, but they're not really contradictory because they're about the same thing. We're going to try to grieve the loss of one who is loved and celebrate the life of one who is loved. But we're really grieving the loss of the immediate influence of their lives, but celebrating the influence of what they placed into our lives, and we're going to keep living out that legacy. See, a funeral is all about the grieving and the celebration of legacy, of influence. And what Jesus is inviting us to is to maximize that influence. See, in Jesus, it is our destiny not just to influence, but to exert godly influence so that people can have more of the reality of their abundant life because we were in their lives. Paul said to Timothy, the saying is trustworthy. You can take this to the bank. If anyone aspires to influence others for the kingdom like an elder, he, she desires a noble thing. That is a promise. Hear it. You and I can take to the bank. Both campuses, let's bow our heads right now if you don't mind. We're going to pray for just a second. I just want us to interact with God here for a minute. I want you to ask the Holy Spirit to remind you of the people who've influenced your lives for the sake of Jesus. I mean, I think names are going to come back, some of us from decades ago, some of us from last year. Why are we where we are? Yeah, I can think of the people. I can think of public school teachers who influenced my life for Jesus, coaches that influenced my life for Jesus, businessmen, leaders in our church. I can just start naming them. Some of the influence is so deep. See, I feel overwhelmed by the favor and grace of God in my life. So much of it goes to those men and women. Can we just say thank you for them? Thank you for that they were willing to be. See, the things they said and the things they spoke into my life, the people who spoke destiny into my life, they had not a perfect life of following Jesus, but they had a very sincere life of following Jesus. I saw it. I was close enough to know not just the weaknesses of their faith, but the strengths of their faith. It propelled me to believe what they said. I know it's been true of your life. Say thank you to the Lord. Oh, we're so now we just want to ask the Father to maximize our influence, to use it. And it's real simple what we have to ask for. Would we ask to be an example of sincere faith? Parents, can we dare ask God for the grace to tell our kids, look at my life as I follow Jesus. You can follow my example as I follow him. Could we get to the place where we could say that about our coworkers? Say it about our friendships. We ask God to so increase our example that we could just look at people and say, hey, I don't have it all together. I'm still on the journey. But if you need to look at someone, just look at me. And you will see the grace of God working powerfully in me. You'll believe he can work that powerfully in you. If you would, both campuses, would say, God, I want you to increase the impact of my example. I want you to increase who I am becoming, and I want you to let other people see it so that they can follow Jesus Christ. Put your hands up in the air. say, God, increase my example. Come on. Come on. You can put your hands down. If you would say, I want my words to be a source of encouragement, I will confess to you that those who are closest to me receive the least amount of encouragement. It's an absurdity. I'm asking the Lord to change it. I want to be a source of encouragement. I want to be a source of encouragement. I want my words to speak, not just positive. I want to speak of the reality of what Jesus is doing in my life. If you want your words to be words of encouragement, you want to influence through those words, put your hands up right now. Yeah, I do. And put your hands down, please. Last thing. This one's a little bit tougher. I get it. I want to believe God for others more than they believe for themselves. I want to have that kind of faith for people. And you say, David, you don't know people very well. I deal with a lot of people. Faith comes from Jesus in people. I need to have faith of Jesus in people to do stuff. And I want to be able to speak destiny, a character, destiny of calling, just encouragements, but before they see it, those encouragements of calling. And if you would want to do something like that, you would want to have, if I may, faith for the callings and characters of people that are in your life. Put your hands up right now and say, Lord, provide that. Yeah. So, Father, all these things we submit to you. And we say, we want to desire that which is noble. I speak over every man and woman who's part of Beltway Park, those who are listening online, those who are on our North Campus, South Campus, men at Middleton, men, people who are going to pick this up later. I speak the word of destiny over us, that we will increasingly influence people for the sake of your name. We thank you, oh God, for the way you have worked in our lives through other people. We thank you for the influence they've brought to us, and now we receive that mantle. Use our lives each and every day. I pray, Father, people will look to us because of the work of your Spirit in us. Fill us in a fresh way, that they will be drawn to that which you are doing in us. And through what you are doing in us, they will be drawn to you, Almighty God. Awaken, increase this desire. Open our eyes this week. Let us see the places we're going to be today and tomorrow and the next day and the people we are around, and give us grace to love them as Jesus would love them, to speak to them the way Jesus would speak to them, to show them the reality of who you are. I ask in Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand. Come on, it's been good to be here at God's house today, amen. All right, if you're going to clap, somebody clap real, okay? Yeah. Hey, we're going to be around here praying after service. If you need prayer about anything, we would love to pray with you. Some specifics. We feel like there's some people struggling with an intense amount of confusion in their mind regarding some decisions that need to be made. So if you pray, we'll be here praying. The name Judy. We feel like someone has a daughter that's not following the Lord. Their name's Judy. We want to pray with you for your daughter. Somebody dealing with a stress fracture, someone with hearing loss, a guy that drives a black Ford Ranger. We're not going to pray for you to get rid of your Ford. I drive a Ford, so that's okay. Now somebody's going to send me notes about Fords and Chevys and Dodges and all that stuff. No notes. Feel like a guy that drives a black Ford Ranger has a fear your whole life you can't shake. Got that? Got a fear that you have not been able to shake. Someone that has fallen on a sidewalk this past week. It's a big week to fall on sidewalks, but you can't seem to get past the embarrassment of it. It's interesting how the enemy uses even small things like that. So we want to pray about those things. Any other things you have need of, we want to pray for you. So let's put your hands out in front of you. Let's receive the blessings of the Lord as we go today. We pray, oh God, that you would bless us and keep us and make your face shine upon us. With open hand, we ask that you would bless us, O God. But we do not want to consume these upon ourselves. We want to use them to influence others, to show them of your goodness, to show them of your grace, to show them of the life that you have. So we ask you to bless us and keep us, make your face shine upon us, that your ways may be known on the earth, your salvation among the peoples of the earth, I ask. B'shem Yeshua HaMashiach, Tzar Shalom, in the name of Jesus, the Messiah, Prince of Peace, God's people said, Amen. Amen. God strength and courage be with you. We'll see you back next week. If you're going to be out of town, remember, plus Thursday, first service of the weekend. God bless.